For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Grip Lock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm nice. Hunter. Joined as always by Connor.
Hey, wow.
Is that trombone going on in the background?
What's a trombone?
I don't know what just happened. You don't know the trombone? I thought you're the music guy.
Yeah, the trombone.
I guess that's how you pronounce it. It makes sense. It's how it's spelled. But I just say trombone, so whenever you say trombone, I guess it
Well, that's how we
off.
Say it down here.
Yeah.
Where you guys say sweeter. Timpani or timpani?
I don't even know what that is.
Okay.
We had the Preserve go down this past weekend. We're going to talk through that. We're going to talk through the baskets out there. Great. Suck. Who knows? You do. You probably watch the coverage. Manufacturers Cup. We'll talk through a little Trevor's trivia. The PDGA has some new rules, including a proposed timeout rule.
Yep. Timeout. Interesting. Stop play.
And then we'll update our top 10. But before we get into all that, I got to think. Today's sponsor. Many disc golfers have tons of extra discs cluttering up our closets and cars. There are very few storage products on the market that are designed specifically for golf discs and that don't waste any space, and unfortunately the ones that do exist are terribly expensive. Thankfully, there is DiscBox. DiscBox is the only low-cost disc golf solution product on the market. It is a simple disc storage bin that holds up to 30 discs, requires no tape or glue, and is made from recycled material in the USA. So go to DiscBoxDG.com, and you'll find quantity discounts, wholesale options, multiple colors, and most importantly, no order minimum. So you can order just a single box if you want. DiscBox also makes a great player pack item. Visit DiscBoxDG.com today and get your collection organized. And don't forget to use code FOUNDATION for 15% off your order.
Dude,
thanks to DiscBox.
That would be a swag player's pack item.
It would.
Yeah, it would be.
We're bringing back the Patreon question of the week.
Nice.
It's back.
And if you don't
Patreon
know,
question of the week season.
If you don't know what the Patreon question of the week is, basically each week on patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf, we have a weekly podcast called the Heiser Club Mailbag, where our Heiser Club members,
like a best friend meetup,
can submit questions for the mailbag. And this week's question is from Jason Dunwald. And he said, what happened to the Patreon question of the week?
Great question.
Great question, Jason. I don't know what you mean. It's right here. We just read it.
Yeah. What are you talking about, Jason?
He also said, which is what we'll actually go with here. He had, what would the landscape of disc golf look like if Ricky had went to Discraft? Listening back to the old debate night, and Brody said something about Ricky mentioning he Discraft had made him an offer when he signed the Dynamic. Do you think that Discraft will be one of the only companies with enough money to give him a suitable contract after his four-year deal? So what would it look like if he went to Discraft, and do we think he would be... Discraft's one of the only companies give enough money to give him a suitable contract.
Ricky, I will say Ricky's going to be one of the most interesting free agents if he like actually hits free agency, because obviously he signed his contract during the money, money, money everywhere era of disc golf there that lasted about a year and a half. And even though his performance won't necessarily change that much, like he's still really good, nobody is worth what they got paid during that era. And so it's going to be really fascinating to see, like, he'll still be pretty young relative to disc golf. So it's like, who is going to pay him and what is he going to make and all that? And is he just going to re-up with Dynamic? I have no idea. Because his deal will end. When did he sign that? Would end at the end of next season, probably.
Let's look.
I think it was beginning of 2021 that he moved, something like that. No, it was not that.
2022. So January 2022, 4-year deal. So he has 2022, 2023, 2024. Yeah, end of next season.
End of next season. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Had he gone to Discraft, I don't really think it would have made that much of a difference, because I think their roster is so stacked. It would just be another kind of feather in their cap of like they're unbelievably stacked. It'd probably mean there's one less person on the elite team. What disc would Ricky have from Discraft?
He probably would have got the Venom over AB.
Dang. Mm. Thank goodness then.
And they would have dropped it for $37.
Shout out AB, man. Back in the top 10.
I don't think Ricky leaves Dynamic. I definitely think like the Paul was the smartest one out of the whole bunch that signed contracts during that, because he locked in a 10-year, $10 million deal. Which, you know,
Simon
at the time,
got 10 years too.
At the time, it was like, is that really smart? What if he's worth more? Now we're 3 years removed from that era, and it's like, that was genius.
Big brain.
Because, like, you're not getting that now. Like, no. Ricky, when his 4 year deal's up, he'll be worth probably $500,000 a year, $600,000. Like, it's not like he's going to get. Well, I mean, that's what he was. And, pros were getting those type of contracts back in 2016 and 2018. For sports, bigger than that.
For me, like right now, it feels like top end deal should be $250,000 a year.
No. It now if where it's like Ricky,
if it was actually a good deal for the company, is what I mean by that.
I think that certain players are worth it. The problem is
$500,000.
Ricky at Discraft, or well, Discraft's probably too popular. Ricky at Discmania might be worth $500,000. The problem is.
That's what I'm saying. A resign at Trilogy, from Dynamic, I don't.
It's just hard because, like, Trilogy Plastic just moves. There's a group of Trilogy throwers that are diehard. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, it just doesn't move that well.
It's such a tough conversation because imagine, like, if you're Dynamic and you try to renew him at the end of his contract, or let's say you're talking about it right now, and you're like, because, like, $500,000 a year in the market right now is amazing. But, like, having to tell him we're giving you or cutting half your pay per year and you've still been a really good player, but it's just that's just how the climate of the sport has changed. I mean, I would be astonished if Ricky gets another $1 million year average from Dynamic,
there's
especially.
No shot.
Like,
I don't think he's getting it anywhere because, like, we didn't see what Eagle signed for.
You know,
I feel like Eagle, if he would have signed for $1 million plus, we would have heard it.
Here's the thought process, right? When do, like, let's use Simon and Eagle as an example, especially Eagle. When do these companies make most of their money from a new signing? Year one.
Yeah, right up front.
Why don't companies, like, just do, like, okay, Rick, let's sign him for 1 year, $1 million. Because then you might be able to make things work for that 1 year. You get the boost. And then, like, because I think it's the year. I think what happens is, like, it's the years after
why,
that's tough.
If I'm a player, why am I signing that?
Because you just made $1 million. Because let's comparing it to, like, okay, let's say Ricky has an offer for $500,000 over 3 years, or $500,000 a year over 3 years from Dynamic. But then let's just use a company's example, Mint Discs, just a company's example, offers them $1 million for 1 year. Well, that's. Yeah, it's only 1 year, but you're Ricky Wysocki. You're not worried about falling off the face of the earth, and you're making double the salary for a year. Like, you take that deal. So, like, that's where it comes into play. Is, like, you could try to steal a player for one season of, like, movement in your direction. It has to be the right player, though. I wouldn't do it with Rick.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, it for Simon, though, like, that would have been a play that
but
made
would,
sense.
Would it have had as much hype from everyone? Like, I guess because Simon would have been throwing it for a year, but I just feel like.
Yeah.
Part of what gets you the most excited is, like, you knew Simon was locked in. So, like, well, Simon's not going anywhere.
You just have to pitch it the right way. Just to be like, yeah, we're doing a 1 year deal just to make sure that everything works out.
If they signed a year deal to a top player, I would instantly feel kind of, like, gross about the company.
It would just be like, well, I mean, the player has to accept the deal.
I know, but I'm saying if MVP would have signed Simon to a 1 year deal, it would have looked like a quick cash grab to me.
Well, that's exactly,
and I wouldn't have liked.
Well, yeah, that's exactly how I pitched it.
And I don't think I don't think it would work because I think the disc golf. I think it would got a lot of stiff arm.
I don't know. Yeah, it would just be interesting,
like,
to see what that would look like.
It would just feel
the longer,
like,
term one. It's like a partnership. The brands are merging. Yeah. It feels right.
That's definitely how the companies want
that
it to look.
It would get you more excited.
And in disc golf, we're so used to players being so synonymous with the companies they're with. But if it was just a big blast 1 year deal with a company, it wouldn't feel like that.
You know what's weird, though, is, and we say that, and we're talking about the upper level players, but most disc golf contracts are 1 year deals. Like, they're one, maybe two. If you, like, for the mid range players.
Well, the contracts you never hear of.
Well, we talk about them, but, like, there's a lot of, like, decent players. Like, look at the Ulti World.
I'm looking up.
I'm sure there's a good bit of names on there. Some of them too, but, like, Haley King, when she moved to Innova. 1 year deal
that was never announced, but we always assumed. It
that's
was
what
year.
I'm saying. Like, I think it happens more than people think. Like, you do see
there's
a lot.
There's a lot of
1 years on there because they just extend them. A lot of them are extensions, but, like, 1 year deals are very common in disc golf. I mean, look, it's
whole
like 95%.
Now, a lot of them are like your Connor O'Reilly, Deanne Carey,
right, but,
Paige Hsu,
but
like
that's
players
what,
you just never talk about.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
Erica Stinchcomb,
like Ben
Carter Aarons,
1 year. Emerson Keith, 1 year.
And Ben Callaway, that he got bumped down from.
Yeah,
like, but, like, if you're a good player, you're getting multiple years.
But that's what I'm saying. You have to be a pretty top player to get those multi-year deals. I just think, like,
Conrad will be an interesting re-up. for MVP. Oh, yeah. Just look at that, 2026 when it re-ups.
But the 1 year deals happen a lot. It's just
I don't know. It's
they're
only
just
recently.
Usually,
look at this, because if you go back, well, I guess it's because you're on accurate.
That's the thing is like the
trying to find the best player on a 1 year deal.
A lot of them are just extensions. That's the thing. Babcock,
2 year.
His is 2 year.
Chris Clemens might be the best 1 year player.
Yeah, and that's a new deal with Discraft, right? Like that was a pretty decent move, and he signed a 1 year deal. But
Proctor's a fake 1 year deal because that's with just ThoughtSpace. Yeah.
But nobody talked about it.
Okay, so I would say
all of DGA's new young players they signed 1 year deals.
Yeah,
like
Corey Dollins on two with them.
Yeah, it happens though.
I'd say Chris Clemens is the biggest name. It's on a 1 year deal.
But like nobody talks about that.
Yeah, as a player, I wouldn't like a 1 year deal.
I talk about it all the time, Trevor.
But
I talk about Chris Clemens 1 year deal like literally all the time.
Yeah, Connor does every day before grip lock. He's like, "Hey guys, where do you think Chris Clemens is going?
Should
to
we
be
talk about this
deal?
Today?" Because they're always like, "No, it's not big enough." And I'm like, "Ah, it's so big to me though."
So the preserve happened this past weekend, and speaking of Ricky Wysocki, he was able to get his first win of the year, taking it down over Kyle Klein in second, and we had Matty O and Isaac Robinson coming in third, tied for third. On FPO, we had Missy Gannon taking it down, Holland Hanley in second, and Rebecca Cox in third. Missy came out on fire with a 10-under round one and then matched Holland the next two rounds to end up winning by two. She ended at 18-under, and 10 of those under par strokes came in round one.
I just got a Pro Tour press release email.
Oh, breaking news. This could be very boring or very exciting.
For immediate release, Disc Golf Network announces 2024 European Open media plan. This could be pretty boring.
Could be very boring.
For the third consecutive year, the Disc Golf Network will return again to Nokia to cover the European Open and associated event, the President's Cup, a DGN Pro exclusive live event. As announced at the beginning of the 2024 season, complete coverage of the European Open will be exclusively available to the Pro subscribers. I think we did know this, but I guess they're just putting it back in front of people. And then post-produced coverage will be Jomez Pro. But it will not, it'll only go live the Monday after, it looks like. We'll continue.
Yeah, I thought they brought, I thought they broke
this.
They
will continue
to
provide complete post-production coverage. It will be exclusively available on Pro for the duration of the event, and then it'll go to YouTube and the normal members on the Monday. This year, they will deliver exclusive access via its subscription service, will not offer a standalone pay-per-view package. So you have to upgrade.
You have to
pay
for Pro for a month.
There's no pay-per-view option. I guess they're just reminding
them. I would say that's not.
That's what that sounds like.
Because they definitely announced that this past offseason.
They did. Yeah. I think, I don't know why they're putting it back out there. Maybe to get ahead of it.
There might have been like a small change in it or something.
They probably are just trying to prepare people to, they want people to upgrade now and get billed for June and July.
Probably. It's probably like, hey, if we hit him in this last week of June,
yeah,
it's
going to be sick.
You can double him up. Back to the preserve.
Back to the preserve.
Missy Gannon. What surprised me statistically is when going into this event, I thought that what Holland would have had over Missy would have been like, which I guess she kind of did, circle one and circle two in regulation, but her advantage tee to green and driving, like she actually lost strokes tee to green to Missy.
Yeah.
She had a better circle one in reg and circle two in reg percentages, but by like very minute difference. And to me, like, that's where I would have pictured that's going to be Holland's big advantage. But where actually Holland was actually hanging right with her and putting and everything, what ended up costing Holland was just really in the final round, she had like a two-hole slip-up, 14 and 15, which I know you can't break it all down to those two holes, but this is what felt like it pumped the brakes. Mm-hmm. Was 14, she lost two strokes to Missy. And then 15, she like almost missed the Mando, kicked off the Mando tree to the right, had to like lay up, ended up taking a double bogey to a par. I believe that was hole 15. Either 14 or 15, that was that hole with the Mando where she missed. And Missy was able to take a par. So she ended up losing four strokes in two holes. And she gained one back on 17, but just couldn't quite do it. Another thing that, like, it didn't actually slow her up, but it felt like it did in a weird way. Because, like, so on hole 8, Holland had a putt for birdie that would have, they were tied on going into hole 8. She would have put her into the solo lead. Dead center spit out on the Prodigy basket. Yeah. We'll talk about this more as we get into MPO2, but dead center spit out on the Prodigy basket, and she ended up birdieing, I think, the next two holes, but you saw her, like, when she would putt, it was, like, still in her head. You could see, like, she would putt and make it, and then she would, like, practice her putt again, like, and they, you could tell it was in her head, and then she started, she missed a few high, and then when she missed a few high, she missed one low, and, like, her putts that had been pretty consistent all weekend, and overall, she putted really well this weekend. She was throwing, like, hard, dead center putts, seemed very confident, and that, you could tell, like, shook her confidence a little bit.
You have to be an incredible putter, because, like, getting the dead center chain, it's so hard to, like, make putts and gain strokes, especially when you're trying to come back. And losing one because of a basket is the hardest thing to accept and get over on the course. You have to be an amazing putter to be able to have that happen to you and just brush it off and be like, it doesn't matter, it's not going to happen again, like, I'm still putting it fine. It is, I mean, it'll shake you to your core, especially when it's a short putt to where it's like you really lost a stroke. It's one thing if that happens on like a 38 footer and you're like,
it was a bonus putt.
It would have been a nice little bonus putt, still not a good thing. But those short ones where it's like, that was a putt, that was a make. Like, that was a make, and then that's a
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Westwood1.
Bummer.
The other player I want to bring up is Rebecca Cox. Had a very impressive weekend out there. When Rebecca Cox is on, she seems like one of those players that's like, why isn't she doing this every weekend? But what I wanted to highlight more is this is trending upwards. So Champions Cup, she came in 12th, the major, then went 9th at DDO, 7th at Portland, 5th at Beaver State, and now she's at 3rd here at the Preserve. So she's sneaking up towards it. I don't know. Has Rebecca Cox ever got an NT win?
I think she has a win, but was it a silver?
No, A tier is as high as it goes.
Well, right. So that's what I'm saying. Was it a silver?
I don't even see a silver, no. She has... Okay. She's won like 2 days in May, Tennessee State, the Majestic. She's won some A tiers.
Oh, 303.
But that was 2022. She won the 303.
So that might be the one that I know about.
But yeah, she, you know, it's pretty surprising because she's been touring for a while. And she's been up there. Like, I think she's just never been consistently good. She, like, her ceiling's high when, like, this weekend, for instance, when she's on, she can compete with the best of them. She ended up losing by 6 overall. It was a 2-horse race down the stretch. But she was, she played a great tournament this weekend. Like I said, she's trending upwards. Could this be the season she ends up getting to the win? I don't think so, because right now in the field, you do have to remember we're missing Hannah Blomroos, Evelina Solonen, Kristen Tatar.
Yeah.
Silva Saarinen, I believe is her name, is still dominating. I think she's won again.
Yeah.
It was a silver this time, but
the field
she's
is,
on fire.
The field
right
is pretty crippled right now.
Yeah, Silva went. This is Silva's recent event. Yeah,
she's been dominating.
She came in 10th at Jonesboro, 9th at Music City, 4th at Champions Cup, 3rd at Copenhagen, and then won the Norway Open, a silver event, won the Heinola Open, a silver event, won the Turku Open, an Elite Series event, and then just won the Ale Open,
dude,
another silver event.
She's making bank.
Yeah. She's made $15,000 so far this season.
Yeah.
No, she's been on fire. I'm very excited to see her get back, because, like, at a lot of these events, she is beating, like,
Evelina
and Henna.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see her get back into the full field and, like, with Kristen, with Missy, with Owen, and see, like, what is she really capable of, because she's trending upwards. But, Trevor pointed out on my screen, Kona Montgomery with this might be her best finish year to date.
Has
Let's see.
To be.
No, she, because the Q series doesn't count.
Yeah.
Prior to this, her best finish was 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like on the Pro Tour, and she just came in at 9th place.
Good for her.
4 under par. Yeah, in Portland, she went 32nd, 38th. She's just been struggling this season.
I just, like, my thing right now with the FPO division is I miss the top players, man. Like it's still been exciting to watch some of these events down the stretch, but like the leaderboard is so crippled just not having some of the best players. There's a player you need to talk about. You need to justify your pick.
I don't need to justify anything to anyone. I thought Paige Pierce was going to play good this weekend. Turns
Paige
out
Pierce,
Bonnaroo like, didn't do so much for her.
Paige Pierce with the quickest turnaround ever from yeah. like, she, oh, won, she won, she's back, then she won, takes 2 weeks off.
She went to Bonnaroo. She celebrated too hard. She came back 21st, 3-0.
Wait,
she should have picked this
did
part.
You say that you, did you think she was going to do well?
I think I put her in my top three.
You second. Said on, I think on the mailbag the week before, you specifically said that she was going to do poorly because of Bonnaroo. So you went back.
You forgot.
You went back.
Well, that course was
that
just...
That means that deep down I knew.
That course was way too easy. Like, Paige Pierce, there's no way. If she was really back, we're not shooting 3-over par out there for the tournament. Like, no, there's just no way.
Katrina Allen, 8 months pregnant. I thought she wasn't playing. I saw that she...
8 months pregnant, she beat Paige?
She had her baby shower, like, she posted on Instagram. I'm blocked, but I saw Austin Hanum shared it. So, still blocked. Maybe one day I'll get back. Actually, I think foundation followers. I think that might have been how I see it. Regardless, so I just assumed she's not playing preserve. She's like in baby mode. She's and so on the preview show, I just said Katrina Allen's not playing, and then all the comments were like, "What are you talking about? She's playing." And yeah, she's out there 8 months pregnant. Came
I mean,
in 16th.
Really, it's unfair because she now has
she's
the
playing
strength,
doubles.
She now has the strength of a fully grown woman and a small baby.
Yeah,
it's an unfair advantage.
Yeah, it wasn't quite enough an advantage. She did come in 16th, but hey,
well,
she was out there. She was out there. So, impressive weekend for Missy, though, taking it down. Another win for big money Missy. The Pro Tour hasn't updated the standings after the preserve. Why? I don't know. But I don't think it's enough for Missy to catch Holland. Holland is still in the lead in the Pro Tour standings. I don't think it's going to be enough for Missy to catch her, but... chipping away. Chipping away. And MPO is an absolute shootout. I mean, there was one point where there was like six guys in it, maybe even seven. It was just a back and forth. There, the commentary team was talking like, is there any way this doesn't end in a playoff? Yes, it didn't. But it did feel like that. It felt like there's too many guys all jumbled up. We're going to a playoff. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like there's no way we're not going to a playoff. Ended up, Ricky Wysocki was just able to walk away with this thing. We did see some very bad Prodigy spit outs this weekend on coverage.
Oh, yeah.
We saw Kyle Klein was victim to some. Gannon Burr was victim to one down the stretch. Isaac Robinson was even caught, you know, king of face of Prodigy right now. Isaac Robinson was caught on a hot mic being like, these baskets just suck after Dang. He got drop kicked by one. This was some of the worst showing of a Prodigy basket I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen, like, we've seen some bad Prodigy basket moments, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But this weekend, I don't know what it was about them. I don't know if it was, like, because the wind players were putting harder what was going on, but, it was bad.
It was, like, this combination of the wind, and you also have some kind of, like, you have a lot of putts from different angles and also putts that, like for instance on 15 or 16 where you have the big drop off behind, like you have a lot of like tentative putts. There's a lot of different putts being thrown at these baskets related to a number of different conditions, and some baskets just will not handle certain kinds of putts. And I think every kind of putt that the Prodigy basket couldn't handle, including some that were dead center at it, were just getting tossed out. But I feel like I remember last year, for whatever reason, the set of baskets that they have at the Preserve in particular, just I feel like we had the like same conversation last year.
I wonder
year.
If it's the old T ones.
That's what I'm
like, I
wonder
I think
if
it's the
it
ones
is.
That haven't been fixed yet.
Because it was brutal.
Which is what we play on at Hideaway.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And they
yeah,
are.
Yeah, we know about it.
Yeah, they are.
Those are bad.
There's something. Like, it basically
you know about it.
Throws a disc back at you.
Oh, it just cracks me up because, like, some of the ones that were getting spit out, like, it was just, like, so familiar to me. Kyle Klein's down the stretch. He hits right side. It's a 50-50, maybe a 60-40 on most baskets. Out. And he gets what we call the Prodigy drop kick, where not only does it spit it out, it throws it out of the basket, which is just the funniest thing ever. Like, it launches that out of those chains. Because those suckers are heavy, man.
Yeah.
Those chains are heavy. But then, like the Holland putt you mentioned, that's the putt that it should catch, the hard putt to the
hard
center.
Hard putt dead center.
Because you can't really get to the pole, and it just knocked it out of there.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was wild.
I mean, the Isaac putt even was a really solid putt. I think it was even, like, low center, and he, like, turned it sideways and rolled it over the cage. It was, you were seeing anything you ever want. But one player who didn't struggle with the putting was Ricky Wysocki. He was pouring it in from all over the place.
As he just goes straight in the cage.
97% C1X on the weekend and 40% circle two on the weekend.
He was loving it.
And, you know, first win of the year. This was an important one. I've been talking about this for a while of, like, Ricky's got to get one in this middle stretch, especially, I think, heading into three more majors this season.
It was huge for him. Huge.
And what I didn't realize, Stat Mando tweeted this, Ricky Wysocki wins the Preserve for the third time in his career. I don't know why they didn't say three times in the last 4 years. That's a much more fun stat, but because he won it in 24, 23, and 21.
Come on, Stat Mando.
But this tournament's also only been around since 2020, apparently. So Ricky's won it three of the five times.
It's very much like a pro tour only event. Like,
yeah, and
it's
like
only,
this is
because the Preserve hasn't been around.
Yeah, but I'm saying like this is a Ricky Wysocki event.
Oh yeah,
like three of five.
Ricky loves like owning events. It's like Texas States, and I know he didn't win it this year. But it's like, I feel like he gets all his wins at like three or four events.
Yeah. Now, this is the stat I want to bring up. This is Wysocki's first major Elite Series win of the year, extending his streak to 14 consecutive years with a major or Elite Series victory,
That's
a PDGA record, and MPO.
That's a really long time.
14 seasons where he's had a major or Elite Series
14
win.
14 seasons
straight.
Ago, 14 seasons ago, I was 10 years old. No, 11 years old.
2011?
Hmm? Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm 25 years old, so I was just going 14 years.
Yeah.
But I was like 11 or 12 years. Like, Ricky started that run when I had not discovered disc golf yet. I was like a couple years from discovering disc golf when Ricky started.
I was 5 years away from knowing disc golf.
Now I'm a decade plus in. I work in disc golf. I'm talking about Ricky on a podcast, and he's still doing it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So
at the highest level.
This is the list. Wysocki's at 14 now from 2011 to 2024. Interesting fact is Macbeth is at 13, also from 2011 to 2023. So if Macbeth can get one this
year,
he'll tie it up.
No, Paul.
That's got to be Paul's new thing.
Oh,
yeah.
It's got to be. Because it has to be Elite Series or higher?
Elite Series or major.
Oh, so it's tough, man. You can't even get like a cheeky little... I'm surprised he's got
to
go over to Europe.
He needs to be in Europe, yeah. He needs the Macbeth effect to come back this season. Because last year, what was Paul's last year?
PCS.
Did he get a legit one, though, or just PCS?
Well, that is a legit one.
But it was did he get...
PCS had a very strong field. He beat Calvin. He beat Rick, I believe. Like, there was good players there. Was it a full field? No, it's Europe, but it was a strong field that he beat in PCS.
Yeah, because this year he's heading over the Swedish Open. Will be probably his best shot next in 4 days. The Swedish Open, I think that's an Elite Series. So that's probably Paul's best chance because he's got Cal. Oh, never mind, everyone's there because I forgot we're going into European Open season. Because, I mean, the Swedish Open, I just said was Paul's best chance, but you have Calvin, Rick, Eagle, Niklas, Paul, Bradley Williams. It's still going to be the weakest field Paul will play probably this season, the Swedish Open, but he'll still have to beat a lot of the guys. Because by the time you get to Krokol Open, there should be even more players over there. Because that brings in Gannon and Matty O and Isaac Robinson and Kyle, like a lot of those guys, Anthony Barella, and then the European Open. Because last year, career wins... Last year, yeah, the PCS Open was Paul's only Elite Series win last year.
Yep.
And he beat out Calvin, Rick, Eagle. Which Eagle, it was...
Kyle, Antla, Gossage. There was guys there.
It was a strong field.
A strong field.
So the Swedish Open's probably the equivalent of the PCS for Paul this year. But Paul probably... I know that's going to be driving Paul this year. It's like he's got to catch Rick. Because if he misses this year, the streak's over. You can restart the streak, but now you got to go through
He could have had a decent
50.
Event at the Preserve if the first round wouldn't have stunk so bad.
Yeah, he ended up at 12 under, but his first round was one over par.
He went 8 under second round and then had a kind of a slow last round, but like his first round stunk.
Yeah,
he missed cash. That really surprised
Came
me.
Came in 53rd. Trevor picked him to win?
Yep.
Yeah, Trevor picked him to win.
Yep.
But yeah,
it was a reach, but I didn't think it was going to be that much of a reach. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Wysocki, Macbeth, then Climo had 11 years from 1990 to 2000. Feldberg had 9 years from 2004 to 2012. Climo again had 6 years from 2002 to 2007. Heimberg had 6 years, is current at 6 years from 19 to 24. Tell them about Climo's streaks.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you about Climo's streak. So I looked into this because I was like, how was Climo's gap in that streak in 2001? That doesn't make any sense. So I looked online. Well, that's because the National Tour didn't exist till 2003. So there was only two majors. Climo's only chances to extend the streak were twice a year at the USDGC and Worlds, and he kept it going except for 001. He didn't win either that year, which is crazy to even think about. So really, now obviously the field was much weaker back then, but I'm just saying like that, it kind of evens itself out. Like realistically, that, I mean, these guys have a lot of opportunities, even though the field is much harder. Klima had twice a year to do it. And then even when the NTs started, there was only a handful of them. So Klima's streak is pretty insane.
Yeah, no, that is wild. But yeah, it's good. Ricky got this one. Now the next thing here is it has been 7 years since Ricky's won a major. So that's kind of... I didn't realize, because like I'm a casual golf fan, right? Wow. So I didn't realize it had been so long for Rory, since Rory had won a major. Yeah. Rory and...
He piled them all on early.
Rory and Ricky are the same player.
Yeah. It's been a while for Jordan Spieth, too, I think. I don't think, because Jordan Spieth is another guy who won a bunch of majors.
Rory's been
look up
world
Jordan
number
Spieth
one
major drought. Rory's been better in recent years than Jordan has, but Rory had a little bit of a few seasons there where he wasn't awesome.
2017, he's the same as Rick.
Yeah.
The reason I think Rory's a better comp for Rick is just because I feel like Rory's been the number one guy. Like, he's been the best player in the world a few different times during that stretch, mm-hmm. and he's always been up there.
He's been very good.
Jordan Spieth, I guess you could say a similar thing, but he's been hit or miss a little more,
and
it feels.
Rory, there was a little bit of a time when he first, I think it was really around the time when he first joined Nike, where he had some struggles, but he has been very consistent for years, and
what'll really lock it in is crazy. If Ricky has a like 15 footer on 18 to win a major and misses it, that'll really lock in the Rory Ricky comp there.
Yeah,
but for right now, Ricky got the win here. It's very impressive the streak he's been on, and the streak he continues to be on of just dominance. Really, he is consistently one of the best players in the world year in and year out. It used to be him and Paul, but as Paul has slipped over the past like few years, Ricky hasn't, which is what makes it even more impressive. Ricky's obviously a few years younger than Paul, but it makes it even more impressive of like Ricky's been able to adapt to this new deep field in a way that Paul just hasn't yet. Not saying Paul won't, but he hasn't yet.
Yeah.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It was also good to see Isaac Robinson back up there in contention again this weekend. We've been waiting a long time for that. Kyle Klein adds to his sneaky good season. He somehow always is one of the most under the radar players.
This year, I think a little less. I think the way it works is like when you have a guy like Kyle, the more years you have in a row where we keep saying you've been sneaky, you get a little less sneaky. Like this year, he has been very good. He got a did he get his win yet, no. Or is he just has a bunch of runner ups?
Neither.
He got close right at the beginning, right?
He came in Austin. Fifth at Chess, seventh at Waco, second at Open Austin.
Yeah, he was like right in the mix at the beginning there.
And he's only finished outside the top 20 once at Jonesboro Open. He dropped out. He DNF'd after round one at Music City.
He really should have won this tournament.
Well, yeah, he lost it on 17.
And Isaac also had a number of chances to win. You know, Rick played solid down the stretch, but he was not like on some unbeatable comeback.
No.
You know, Isaac, obviously his trouble starts. He has that touchy putt with the drop off behind with a few holes to play, decides to run it, which I respect. He definitely could have laid it up, seeing what had unfolded in front of him, decides to run it, gets the bad skip, airballs the next one. Like it was just a mess. But then he managed, Ricky slips up. He has a chance to stay even on pace with him on 17. Him and Kyle both on 17 just
Kyle did something I didn't know
they
was
just
possible.
Pooped the bet.
Kyle went OB left on 17.
He yanked it left.
He threw a forehand that just turned over.
Yeah, Missy did it too.
But like I had seen players miss over there. It just never clicked with me that there's OB over there.
There's like a little corner there. But both Kyle and Isaac had a chance on a very easy hole, but it just touchy enough, you know, just touchy enough, which I kind of like that hole for that reason. It's just touchy enough to make you think about it. And that's where they lost it. And then what's crazy is Isaac, he goes on 18. He has to make eagle. His drive stinks. He puts himself in the furthest spot left where he's trying to be right. But then he goes for this Anheuser approach to try to hit the green in two, and honestly, they made it seem like it was impossible. He stalled it really bad and wasn't like, it didn't look, at least from the camera, that it was so short. Like, I feel like if he had actually hit the Anheuser line he wanted, he maybe could have hit that green in two.
Yeah.
But he had chances to win that tournament down the stretch and just couldn't do it. I think it's one thing to get in contention and kind of keep that confidence, but he's been around a lot this year, Isaac has, where, like, you've got to at some point take your chances and win. Because that tournament was winnable for him.
Oh, very much was. The other stat about Ricky I forgot to mention was he bogeyed hole two in the final round, which ended his 91-hole bogey-free streak in major/elite rounds. He went 91 straight holes bogey-free.
Yeah.
It was the longest MPO major/elite bogey-free streak since Eagle last year went 95 straight bogey-free holes from PDGA Champions Cup into Jonesboro Open. That's crazy. 91 holes bogey free. Like,
what do you think? How many times do you think you could play? Let's leave this. Peaks View.
I was
in
about
a row.
To say, could you get 91 straight holes at Peaks View bogey free?
This is a video idea.
If you're not we're playing to go bogey free. Like,
no,
you're,
you, no, I think
you're playing to score.
I'm wondering if I was playing to go bogey free, if I could even do it.
See, because Peaks
eventually,
is a little too easy.
Eventually, you're going to give yourself because there are
shorts or longs.
Even to the shorts, think about. Let me give you an example of the shorts hole. Six, is that the one that goes up over the hill?
Yeah.
You throw a bad shot, your layup goes to 25 feet, now you have to make a 25-footer for par.
Yeah.
You're going to miss that. Like,
it could be a video.
You will have 20 to 30-footers for par at some point.
Who can go the longest without bogeying?
And it's just an endurance
of, like, how long can you play without
it? So it's five rounds of Peaks View is 91.
No way.
I think I can get 5 rounds.
I need to add this to our calendar, though. We got to do who can go the longest without making
bogey.
If we don't want it to be a super long video, we could just do, you do a whole round. If you bogey, you're out.
I don't even know if
and
it would
if everybody
be that
makes
long.
It to the.
I think I could go nine. If I'm playing Peaks View shorts,
yeah.
And my goal is to go bogey free. I think I could get. I think I get to 100.
If
holes.
You're playing normal disc golf and we didn't tell you the objective, you might go a long time. But as soon as the objective is I can't make bogey, your par putts get way scarier.
I don't. Think
and also
because now you're knowing like that's away. The goal.
But I'm laying up all my birdie putts.
Also those baskets.
Yeah. I'm not.
Yeah, the,
no,
well,
this
the
is
baskets
the way
are,
they're new baskets
they're
now.
Oh, you're right. You're right. This is the way we should do it. This is the way
I think I can get to 100 holes.
This is a way we should do it.
Someone put a PS5 on the line.
This is a way that we could do it. Is we do like
tweet Brody.
We do, if you bogey, you're out. Like, you're eliminated if you bogey. But we play 18 holes, and if you make it to the end, then it's based on score.
So we just do 18?
Well, then, because then it, but then it's...
I need to play, I want to play this course
score
five
based,
rounds.
I say
yeah, I'm just saying, if we wanted to make a video that wasn't 2 hours
long. I'm okay to make a video 2 hours long. Yeah.
I think it sounds awesome.
Of just, like, can we break Ricky Wysocki's bogey-free record?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, because, I mean, think about it. I mean... people would get eliminated pretty quick, and by the if
yeah,
it was
as
just
soon as you bogey,
if it's
over.
One person playing that style golf on Peaks View, they can play a round in like 25 minutes.
That sounds awesome.
We're gonna do it.
Yeah,
we're gonna do it. What's this? Wait, what is the record?
95 is Eagle McMahon.
That was Eagle McMahon.
Eagle did it last year. I don't know if that's the
so
all time record.
Holes.
But I think
let's
95.
Let's say right,
like,
right now, I'm gonna tell you, I would probably
it's
I
like
think
five and a half rounds.
I think there's a chance I make it 1.5 rounds.
I think I could do it.
I'd bogey hole one.
I think I could do it.
Because like that's what I'm saying is as soon as you go into the video knowing like what the pressure is, if
it's
your tee
so
shot is decent, you're obviously never messing that up because you're just laying it up. But as soon as you throw a bad tee shot and you've got a 100-foot little scramble. There's pressure on that.
It changes how you play every hole.
It does.
Oh, it absolutely
sure.
does.
There's never a time at Peaks View that you're choosing landing zones.
Yeah.
Because you're just going for the basket.
There's still a lot
but
of...
But now you're looking at the fairway picking
saying.
Your landing
even hole
zone.
Six, yeah. like, I'm throwing a forehand, and I should get myself a 60-footer. Right.
But there's still there's still a lot of holes where you can mess up badly enough that you have to throw a difficult scramble. Like, that it could happen. Like you get into the first hole in the woods, that goes up to the
right. Really
just like
get
you
to 17
a tree or something. Like
you could just get to hole 17 and mess it all
17
up.
17 could be tricky. 17
you hit a tree.
That could be the trickiest.
It's
one.
A hard up and down.
Yeah, that would be getting
I
past 90 something would be really hard.
It would be hard. That's a fun video.
It sounds awesome.
What sounds like the
or
most
you
foundation
on the path
thing,
on one of
what
those?
Sounds like the most foundation thing ever is we introduce it. Like
we make six holes in.
And we get like seven holes in and we all bogey.
That's amazing. I think there's a very good chance that we could.
People click on the video like, how's the 5-minute video?
Drop off. Like we could one person bogeys two and then three and then five.
We could get dropped super quick. Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious.
That would be the most foundation thing ever.
And then we just read a royalty-free book for the rest of the videos to throw people off.
Yeah. Just a black screen for 45 minutes after we bogey the final one. Final thing to talk about here was the commentary this weekend. Well done. I thought.
Nice, yeah.
The Terry Miller, first off, here's my opinion. I think that they want to rotate the commentary team, right? Which I respect. I understand. Okay. I think that Terry Miller is your anchor. He stays in the play-by-play. He does not move.
I like Eisenhood better.
Okay. I think Terry Miller... No, Eisenhood's fine, too. But I think Terry Miller feels more like the voice of disc golf to me, just because he's been doing it longer. Ian, I'm sorry.
I like Terry, That's too. It. Yeah, as long as it's not Ian.
Then I think you can rotate the color commentary, right? Like, if you want to rotate, sure. I think Terry has great chemistry with Nate Sexton. He has fine chemistry with Big Germ. Fine chemistry with Nate Doss. You know, I don't think you ever do three in the booth, because I think that just gets too competitive. And then I think that Brian Earhart and Nate Perkins should be on the course every weekend doing what they let Perkins do this weekend, which was they multiple times threw it to Perkins on the tee or on like tricky approach shots. One of the most notable ones was Ricky had, I think it might have been on 18
did it on
even.
Approach on 18.
Ricky was in like this tall grass and they threw it to Perkins and just let Perkins take it. And he was explaining of like, you know, what's going to make this shot tricky is he has X amount of wind. You know, I think he's going to try to go for the green, but if so, he's got to worry about the crosswind. It could push him OB. And on top of all of that, he's going to have, you know, the tall grass is going to make his run up very uncomfortable to where like this is not going to be a stock shot for Ricky.
Well, this wasn't on 18 because 18 he was throwing. You're talking about the one where this was.
Yeah, this is the one. I'm talking wherever he was in like waist high grass.
I think that was on 16 maybe because 18 he was in the middle of the fairway. Yeah. But they did it on 18. They let him call
Well, they let Perkins do it all over the place, which is awesome.
That's a really good idea.
I wonder where they got it from.
Yeah, letting the guy on the ground call the shot. I feel like I've heard that somewhere before.
I heard it recently. I almost feel like
Where was that?
Was it on a podcast?
I think I said it on Tour Life.
Oh. Yeah, maybe I said
probably,
it on Tour Life.
It was right
I think
on
I said
Tour
it on Tour Life.
Life. Yeah.
Yeah. but no, spoiler alert, when you have a sport that has as much big of a budget as golf doing coverage and we have something that we can copy and paste and implement for free, we probably should do it.
Yeah.
And shocker, when they did it, it worked great.
It was awesome.
Because it provided so much more context. The guy on the ground can actually see the shot instead of reacting with us. He's telling us what's happening.
Probably way more fun for them, too.
And, yeah, he was able to provide a lot more context about, like, how hard the shot was, what the player is trying to do, the different options the player had. And it worked out great.
It lets the guys in the booth take a breather and focus on... Like, if you want to be a really good commentator and have those, like, iconic calls, you need room to be able to, like, let things breathe and think of what you're going to say. And, like, throwing it to Perkins, letting him call the shot, now, okay, I'm Terry, and I can think of how I want to call this if he sticks the green here. Like, that adds that element in. It just takes it some pressure off of them. Because if they're two guys in the booth having to run the whole show is hard.
My other opinion is I don't think it would have worked with Ian. Because the way Terry threw it to Perkins in a very smooth way. He would a lot of times ask Perkins a leading question and then just leave it. Whereas what we felt before is Ian will give that person the opportunity, but a lot of times it's like, Perkins, are you down there? Do you see it? What's going on? And then as soon as he starts talking, it's like interrupted by Ian of like, oh, okay, sick, thank you. And then like goes back at Philo, what when you threw the Philopatross, where were you? Like that's the Ian commentary.
You're a hater, dude.
I don't like Ian in the commentary booth. Love Ian as a person.
No,
love what he's done for the sport.
Dude.
That's great. Doesn't mean he should be a commentator.
No.
Like just because you've done great stuff for the sport, Champs vs. Chumps, all time favorite piece of content, old Central Coast,
what are you staring
rocking the Bronx, whatever.
I'm sorry.
Phenomenal.
I was itching my knee.
Oh, I thought I was doing something wrong with like the camera, or, like the mic or something. That's why I was like, I was trying to get a cue.
You're wonderful.
Okay.
All
I
that
was
stuff.
Like, Connor's mad at me. I don't know what it did.
All that stuff's great. Doesn't mean you're a commentator. That's my opinion.
Shoot,
on it. And I think that the DGN needs to get a little bit of a backbone. And when you got someone in the booth that isn't good, have the stones to say, hey, sorry, you're not coming back.
Dang.
That's what I think.
Dang, dude.
And I think we need to just lock in. Make someone the voice of disc golf. Make it Eisenhood. Make it Jake Marsh is looking for a job. Okay? Does he want to be the voice of disc golf? Probably not.
Dude,
but hey,
be funny.
Offer him a check.
Mm-hmm.
Make someone the voice of disc golf and then rotate our color analyst until we find our team. Lock them in and let's roll.
Let's roll.
That's my opinion.
Lock it in. Let's roll.
The best commies in disc golf.
That's right.
The
commie is short for commentator.
The preserve.
I don't
was,
see any issues with that.
Oh, the preserve overall was great. I like it. It's becoming the identity of the event is like you got to go low. I kind of like
that. It's a good time. I will say like I still feel like I see so many shots on that course where like for instance like 18th tee shot. Yeah, if you're trying to get the green in two, it's one thing with the positioning, but like it's just a pretty pretty standard shot. Like, I feel like there's a lot of, like, shots off the tee that don't present a lot of trouble, and that's fine. But like I said, with the birdie or die, I'm always more of a fan. Like, I feel like that presents itself better with the par threes. Like, easy par fours just aren't very exciting to watch in disc golf. But it's a fun course. It's a fun enough course to watch.
Yeah. Now, the Manufacturers Cup update.
Cool trophy.
We had, I didn't notice, actually, speaking of the trophy, the logo for the preserve is the bear and the tree, and they have the previous champions' names on the tree. Mm-hmm. I know they had it on the trophy, but in the logo they put it.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. That's pretty cool. Anyways, Manufacturers Cup update. Kyle Klein had his seventh top 10 finish of 2024, finishing solo second. Gannon Burr was able to record a top five after back-to-back wins in Oregon to get Discmania the most points out of any team this week. Discraft led in total players in the top 10 with four, but all of them placed in the back half of the top 10.
Dark horse Luke Taylor.
Yeah, Luke Taylor popped up there. And Ricky's win helped Dynamic Disc close the gap on number three, Innovo, which had only had Double G score 3 points this week. So Dynamic's climbing in there. But Discmania still has a lead, 13-point lead over Discraft at 318 points. Discraft's in second. And then a big old drop-off to Innova in third right now at 165. Dynamic Discs is in fourth at 121. Prodigy in fifth at 87. Then you go to DGA at 47. Westside moves up a spot, catching MVP at 38. MVP is at 36. And then you have Casaplast at 23 and Mint Discs at 15 points. That's the top 10 for the season point leader so far.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, before we get into the fan favorite segment of Trevor's Trivia, I gotta let you know something very exciting that we've been working on behind the scenes for a month or maybe more, actually month now. We officially have an app. So you can head over to the App Store on your iPhone or the Google Play Store on Android and search.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. You can scroll and stuff.
Search Foundation Disc Golf. You'll find the app. And what's super exciting here is we actually have a sales-a-thon going down Friday, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, only in the app. So you have to have the app to be able to join in on the sales-a-thon. If you've seen our sales-a-thons before, we go live, we throw out crazy deals left and right. What's exciting about the app is we can actually go live in the app and you can shop it without ever having to leave the live stream. So before, you would go over to the site, you know, maybe have a different tab, whatever, leave the live stream, and you might miss out on a deal. Well, in the app, you can actually click whatever product we're talking about. It'll pop up a little side thing, and then where the live chat is, that turns into your cart where you can check out if you wanted to, you know, browse through stuff, check out, and then pay attention to the live stream still going on so you don't miss anything. We're also on the app, one of the coolest features we have is a wish list. So in the app, you can press heart on an object or on a disc, it adds to your wish list. And we're actually going to be doing a wish list giveaway. So basically with the wish list, you can fill the screen with, I think it's 9 discs fill the screen. It might be 6, whatever fills the screen. We are going to be giving someone their wish list Friday. We're going to be drawing. So how this works is you go into the app, you go to your favorite products, whatever discs you really want, apparel item you really want, whatever it is.
Make sure to log into your account.
You heart them, right? So you get the wish list. Screenshot that and either tweet it at us or post on Instagram and tag us in it. Some way, get it to us, right? So it's completely free to enter. It's free to download the app. You screenshot your wish list, tag us in it on social, DM it to us, something. We're going to go through those wish lists, and on Friday, we're going to pick at least one, maybe two or three people, and send you your entire wish list as a care
package.
It's
pretty sick.
So
it's like every disc golf window shopper's dream.
Yeah, so all you gotta do is you heart your you heart the discs, apparel items, tacky sacks, whatever you want, and whatever you can fill on one screen, you screenshot that, tweet it to us, whatever. That's how you enter the giveaway. Make sure we're tagged in it. That's the only way we'll see it. And then on Friday, we're gonna pick a few people and just send it your way. You can also listen to our podcast, watch our YouTube videos in the app. You'll get notifications on the latest releases. There's exclusive app discounts all weekend long. We're going to be running different sales within the app as well. You have to have the app to get those exclusive discounts. You can easily track your birdie coin rewards and redeem those through the app. It basically just makes your entire life...
If you shop Foundation, this is the place to
be. It makes your life easier if you shop it on the phone. The only thing that's not on the app is our subscription box, which you should check out. We're working with the developer to get that added to the app. But if you're a subscription box subscriber, you can head over to our site, which you can still shop the mobile version of our site to do all of that, because for some reason, it's above my pay grade to understand why it won't work. It doesn't work right
Big
now.
Big tech
so,
guys.
But everything else.
So like $1,000,001?
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, super, super excited. I'm actually going
to surreal. It's pretty surreal looking and seeing that, like going to the App Store and downloading a Foundation Disc Golf app. That's pretty cool.
Heck yeah. Leave a 5-star review if you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay, I will, Trevor.
Let's pump up the jam.
Let me make sure I enjoy it.
I'm a heart a bunch of stuff so I can actually see.
It's a pretty awesome time.
How many things I can get into this wish list.
I wish somebody would do that with my Amazon wish list.
I'm just trying to get some of these new shirts. The It's All or Nothing shirts are freaking sick.
The Swaggin' Wagon.
Okay, so if I go to the wish list, just to kind of show you, the best way to do it, you should be able to get 6 on there.
Boom.
You just screenshot where you have the title up top, the discs, and like the pictures. So you can fit 4 pictures fit on the screen.
It could be an accessory too,
but
right?
But if you scroll,
yeah.
Accessory, but if you scroll, you can get the title, so you can get 6 items on there. That's the way to do it, cheat sheet.
There you go.
That's the way to do it, up to 6 things. So whatever you want on there.
That's a good time.
Boom. 12 p.m. Eastern time Friday is when the sales-a-thon goes live in the app,
you
by the way.
You don't want to miss it. All right.
Hit him with a T-Dog.
This is going to be a lot of fun.
Hit him, Fergie.
Trivia today. We got a little game called Bull.
I know what's in the Silas Select this week.
No, you don't.
I know
no, you,
it.
No, you don't, bro. Nobody knows. This game is called Bull. There are probably meaner names for it, but this is how we're going to call it.
It was like the card game back in the day?
Kind of like that, yeah. So
Peanut
basically,
butter,
I'm going to give a prompt. Like a category. I'll do an example one. Let's just say it was distance drivers from dynamic discs. And
okay.
I'll say, Hunter, you start. And Hunter will say, I can name 2 distance drivers from dynamic discs. And then Connor would say, if he thinks he can name more, you'd say, I can name 3. And then Hunter will go. And whenever somebody says a number that you think, no shot.
You say bull.
You say bull.
If they can't do it, you get the point.
If they can't do it, you get the point. If they can do it, they get the point.
I love these games.
Can raise it by more than 1 if you really wanted to. You can start it off at a high number. Like, you can start it at 8. However, once you go to name them, we're going to give you a maximum of 20 seconds
Whoa.
In between.
20 seconds.
In between. Okay.
So, like, you can't. So, like, if I'm naming dynamic disc, I can say Raider, and then you have, like, once you get past 20 seconds, your time's up. You
okay.
can't just sit
yeah,
there forever.
That makes sense.
So you need to be pretty confident in your ability is basically the okay. We're gonna start with a pretty simple
That's
ones.
That's fun. My brain is
some
not
of these are
running
related
fast
to discs.
Right
some
now.
With like players or like disc golf in general. Most of them after discs. So first category. This would be a big one right off the bat here.
Oh, I'm scared.
We've got Innova fairway drivers,
Innova
and we'll start with Connor.
Drivers.
Connor, how many Innova fairway drivers can you name?
I'll start. Do I get to retort after he?
Yeah, you can keep going back and forth until somebody calls bull.
Start safe at. 4.
I'm going to say 10.
Oh, 10. That's a lot. Oh my gosh, that's so many frisbees.
Going once.
I'm just going to let him go for it. Well, no. Ah! 10?
Are you calling him
you
or
call
not?
Him ball or no?
It's got to be a little quicker than this.
Okay, I'm going to say I could do 11.
Okay.
Bull.
All right, Connor. Go.
T-Bird 3, Eagle, Leopard 3. Oh, dude, I'm already halfway through. Okay, Thunderbird, Firebird, Beast.
Distant driver.
Shoot.
Mm-hmm.
The J.
Mid-range.
No, you got 10
Hawkeye
seconds.
Hawkeye is what I mean to say.
Okay, there you go.
What's it called? What did they redo the FD as they didn't? I got so many left.
10 seconds. 3 more. It's so crazy how your brain goes blank.
I know, yeah, 5. I can't.
And
yeah,
time's
I'm
up.
Sorry.
Hunter gets the point. So I had the TL on the board.
TL,
FL.
The
Eagle L.
It's so tough, though.
That's hard.
Sidewinder, okay. Roadrunner.
Point
one. Oh, man, yeah.
Okay, next we're going to go with Disc Golf Pro Tour events, past or present, but it has to be a Pro Tour event. Hunter, how many can you name?
7.
Connor, how many could you name?
I already know that this is not mine, so I can't name more than that, so I have no choice but to say bull, correct?
Okay.
Well, I mean, you could try to drive him up a little bit because you couldn't. I know, think you could but do like eight if you had to. Because like, if you give him seven, dude, he's going to get it.
If my I just had.
Like he, you don't have it. Like if I'm just saying,
I know,
if you,
but if
you don't
I least, say eight, I'm not gonna. I might not get it.
Do you think you have a better chance of that than the guaranteed point he's gonna get? Like, is that's a seven?
I don't understand
is a,
why is like the, I, why the host.
I'm just
is
trying to make it
here.
Interesting.
He's trying
like
to call bull on me. Let him
point.
Call bull.
That's
on
a free point.
I know. I'm just not like my brain's gonna shut off as soon as I try to say one.
Okay, then you can call bull.
So I'm gonna call bull.
Okay, Hunter, go ahead.
Chess.com, Texas States, Waco, Open at Austin, Jonesboro. Preserve, Des Moines.
Okay,
there
you go.
There's seven.
Okay, next category. Mid-ranges named after animals.
That's
and
fun.
I will say that it can be a real or like fictional animal as long as it's an animal. If you wanted to go there. Connor.
I'll go five.
You can name five of them. Hunter.
Start there.
Bull.
Yeah, five to Hunter.
Bull. All right, Connor, go for it.
Okay. Mako. Mako 3 is also technically named after an animal.
Well,
shark.
Is the Mako
yeah, it's a shark.
Named after an animal?
Yeah. And then
so
the Rock.
Mako 3?
I'm
it's a different
it
mold,
him.
Also named after an animal. Shark. The Shark 3. And then the Rock. And then the Rock 3. And that's all, Bobcat.
No. I didn't think three were going to count.
I mean, it's another mold that was also, named after.
Well, so I can find a Shark 3 in the nature?
Point goes to Connor. I'm the judge.
Well, that's the only reason I called bull.
Well, it's a different mold.
Yeah, not an animal, though, because there's a three.
It's named after an animal. I didn't say it's named after, like, I literally allowed mythical
fake.
Animals. I'm going to allow
that's,
shark
that's
three.
That's fine. You're the judge, but that's why I called bull.
Okay. In any case. Also, I mean, there
was definitely more out there. I just didn't think you'd get past Mako, shark, rock.
Jay is one for sure, and then and lion,
gazelle is
a
fairway driver.
Yeah. So there's
once you get outside
more.
Of Innova though, it gets tough though, right?
Yeah,
because like animal, because I wouldn't
buzz
I guess like do you
it's
count?
Technically named after an animal.
Is that an animal though?
A buzz isn't an animal; it's named after an animal.
I wouldn't count it, but I also
you say wasp, hornet,
shark three, wasp,
like
hornet would have counted.
Like for bugs though, like does that count? We'll never know. All right, this will be all right. 2-1. The next one is gateway molds. Hunter.
I can name 10.
Whoa.
I'm gonna say 11.
I can go 12.
I'm just gonna
12. That's
a lot of gateway molds. 12 is There's, a lot of gateway
molds. When you think about it though, like yeah, I probably could do 12 as well.
But also I kinda want I think I'm gonna make Hunter do it. All I'm gonna right. say bull.
Oh man. He can do 12.
Because I think he could have ran me up.
Go ahead.
Wizard, Warlock.
There's so many putters.
Magic. We'll just go into mid-ranges. Element, Prophecy, Mystic, Spear, Jade. No, not Jade. Spell, G1, Illusion,
Does
Spirit.
Does G1 ever come out?
It's Gateway Disc. We have them. If you're going to let the Shark 3 be an animal name, I mean, come on.
I
Spirit.
Well, I believe you can.
Well, just
more,
if it was PDG approved.
Warrior. Warrior OS. There you go.
There you go.
There's your makeup one. Chief OS.
Yeah,
15.
Nice. Connor, you're letting him off the hook.
I'm sorry.
12 gateway molds. I mean, that's. You don't think you could have done 13?
I don't know if I could have put a number to it in my head. I definitely
more,
could have
you
done
need
13.
You need more confidence in yourself.
No, I definitely could have done 13, but I just. That number doesn't mean anything to me whenever I say the word 13.
I just like am doing really quickly what I can get to, and then I add like three or four to.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we only have two more, so Connor needs to win both of these to go to a playoff. Next, we have discs that start with the letter A. This would be a really tough one to think of.
Is it me or Connor?
Connor.
I'll go five. And I can't even think of that many. I haven't thought of any yet. See, Hunter's like actually thinking of discs and
do
then
six.
Doing an answer. I mean, I got to try, so I'm going to go seven.
I'll try eight. Why not?
See, this is where Hunter has all the power because my only option is to win both of these. So he could just go up until there's
yeah,
a number.
Yeah, but he can lose when he's trying to name them.
That's true. So maybe I'll run him up then.
Yeah, I mean.
So you think you can do more than eight?
No.
Do you think I can do eight?
No. Any other questions?
All right,
no, I think you could do eight. Eight?
Eight.
I'm going to go nine.
I'll call bull.
All right. Okay. Connor, here we go. Let's do it.
A2, A3,
wow.
A4, A5.
Wow.
Then we have the Arrow. Then good we job. Have the AVR, the AVR3, the AVR X3.
Did it.
Is there that it?
That's
it.
That
yes!
was brilliant.
Yes! I didn't think of the brilliant. A-Series.
I was wondering.
I had AVR, AVR X3, AVR 3, Ape, Archon, Anvil.
That was one of the things we get the A-Series. That was brilliant, Connor.
I was in a flow state.
Well done, man. I blacked
well
out.
Done. Okay, this last one's going to be very tough.
Oh, no.
Last one is FPO players in the top 30 Pro Tour standings.
Oh, so gosh.
Pro Tour standings.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way I can.
Is there, if I say one wrong, is it it's immediately over?
No, you still have your time limit.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's you first, Hunt.
Let me just get the standings here. You have a Hunter. You can go ahead. Okay, I've got the standings.
I'll start at 10.
11.
15.
Go ahead. Bull.
All right.
I know I can't do more than 15. So I couldn't do 11.
All right. Make sure you
can. In the top 30?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Kristen Tatar, Holland Hanley, Evelina Solonen, Henna Blomroos, Missy Gannon, Owen Scoggins, Paige Pierce, Rebecca Cox has to be in there. Silva Saarinen should be in there. Should be some more. Oh, Haley King's got to be in there. We're at 10. How many did I say?
15.
Haley King's got to be in there. Oh, no, I went blank. Valerie Mandahano should be in there. Alexis Mandahano should be in there. 30's a lot of players.
Yeah, keep going.
Kona Panis should be in there because she just played
Wait,
everything.
I don't know if Alexis Mandahano's in.
Time. Wait, what's the time at?
Start counting to 20 in your head, Connor.
Start counting? Oh.
Yeah.
I'm missing some obvious ones.
Also, where the heck is Alexis?
Oh, Natalie Ryan should be in there.
15.
Alexis 16. Is not in. Take her off.
Okay, well, I already did.
Okay.
I think
that's 20 seconds.
No, you got to.
No, I have 20 seconds
start from
per
the last
answer.
Time. From the last time you. Yeah, you keep
so
track.
So I just
of that
said Natalie Ryan, Katrina Allen. No, who else is up there on her? Oh, Ella Hansen missed her. Who else is on?
Stopwatch.
Who else is on?
One more.
Owen Scoggins already did. Ooh, Lyke Lorenzen.
Like A is in. There yep. you go. Did
nice.
It.
Nice.
That was tough. Cat is also in there. You could yeah, that would have counted.
Oh, so I got
20
16.
Second. There Dang. You go. Boom. Wow, that Great was job, a tough man. One. That was like right on the that was probably right on the edge of what you could have gotten. That was impressive.
Yeah.
Because towards the end of the top 30, it starts
I think
to
I
get.
Missed I missed a considerable like Sayananda's probably in there. Missed her.
Because
like the problem is you don't see players coming in like 20. Like Deanne Carey's probably in there.
No, Deanne's 32nd. Sayananda's also not in there.
Wow.
The end of the top 30, it starts with at
it's
30th.
It's like a bunch of Europeans.
Rachel Turton, Candace Burge, could've Jessica Weiss, Maria Oliva, Raven could've Klein, Eliezra, Holly Finley. Allie Smith is also back there. Emily Weatherman's back there. Hannah Wynn is in there.
Oh, I could have got Anakin Hannah
Steen Wynn. Steen is in there.
Could have got Anakin.
Stacey Kiefer, Lisa Fakus.
How'd I miss Lisa? That's impressive.
Yeah, those are the ones
I could have got like four or five more then, but it would have taken every ounce of my
right.
brain power.
I wasn't positive I could get 11, but I just had to say it really confidently to hopefully get you to go to a number that you possibly could
it was
get.
You stretched it.
I wouldn't
got close
have went
there.
Past 15. Yeah, if you would have said 16, yeah. I would have called
it. We got close. Mm-hmm. All right, good job, guys.
15, I had
that was a
half
fun game,
them.
Trevor.
It's a very tough game. It's very tough game. To, like, the it's the what I love about that game is, like, you'll get like usually a lot of times you see people play it and they'll kind of knee jerk reaction just be like, oh, I could name 15. But then when yeah. you're put on the spot, like as end of a fairway drivers, if we had enough time, we could probably get 30. Yeah. But it's so difficult when you're on the spot.
And I could name probably almost every gateway mold.
Probably, yeah. I mean,
yeah, you gave me what you gave me 12.
Yeah, I could name a
all
lot
you had to
of
say
gateway
was 13.
Molds.
Yeah, you could have got them.
You could have got me that easily.
Yeah, I was just scared. Well, because fairway end of a fairway driver should have been easy. But I just like I knew my brain didn't work well under that because I tried it with end of a fairway drivers, so I just didn't expect my on something where I should do really well. That's even worse.
You could just went through your bag. You might have 12 yeah. gateway molds in your bag.
That's not true.
Hunter. Shaman one, shaman two.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture, and the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety minded who watch everyone's backs.
Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, to wrap up the show, we're just going to have to push the top 10 to next week, which works because
we love doing
we kind of have an off week. But, well, I say an off week. It's the Swedish Open week. We had to talk about this, though. The PDGA proposed rule changes for 2025. These always go under the radar.
Was there any other interesting ones? Because I haven't looked at all of them.
Yeah, I'll read through. Okay. There's like two interesting ones. Okay. So public comments open till June 30th. So if you think some of these are crazy, you can go over to the PDGA. You can email... rules dash
to do it the official way.
Yeah, you can email rules-feedback@pdga.com. And I think you just have to like let them know your PDGA number if you're a member. So rules-feedback@pdga.com if you think these are crazy. And you don't think they should be a rule, such as excessive time, allow timeouts. So this establishes that players may use up to 2 timeouts per round.
It's so funny.
I was trying not to laugh.
Timeout.
May use 2 timeouts per round. Players occasionally get into situations where additional time is necessary to establish footing and execute the shot. So I understand that statement.
So
right?
Stupid,
they get into
bro.
Situations where they need a little bit more time. The way the PDGA went about addressing this, proposed to address this, is you get 2 timeouts
so
during your
stupid,
round.
Bro.
So when it's their turn to play, a player may elect to take a 60-second timeout up to 2 times in a round. The request can be made at any time during the 30-second excessive time period. Player must indicate to the group they wish to use one of their timeouts. Timeouts can't be called retroactively. Each timeout used is noted on the scorecard. A timeout period expires once the player indicates that they are ready to throw, or when the group notes the 60 seconds has expires and notifies the player. At that time, the player must throw within 30 seconds. So you have 30 seconds to call it. You get 60 seconds. Then your 30 seconds restarts. So you get 2 minutes.
That's outrageous.
In this, and you get 2 timeouts. So, strategy play, if this goes through, right? Hole 18, Trevor has a 20-footer. I'm up by 1.
Okay, wait, can you use them back-to-back?
It doesn't say anything against it.
Nice.
So, here's my strategy, right? I'm in a monthly match now, right? Trevor has a 20-footer. On the Pro Tour, probably like a 30-footer for someone. I have a 25-footer, right? I'm up by 1. Okay? So, I'm going to try to make my putt, right? But I want to make sure Trevor has to think about his 20-footer for his life as long as possible. So I'm taking 29 seconds. Timeout. Give me a timeout.
Then you're taking 29 more.
Then I'm taking 60 seconds for my timeout.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm stepping up to my lie. Okay, 29 seconds. Looking at it.
Timeout.
Stepping back, another minute. Then I'm stepping up, taking 29 seconds, throwing my putt. Hopefully making it. But if I miss it, Trevor has now stood over his putt for 4 minutes.
This is what happens when you have a sport where even the mention of time in the rules should really just be a guideline, and people should just not be dumb and like inconsiderate and just adhere to that guideline, because you shouldn't have to. Like, this is like baseball introducing the pitch clock, basically. It's like you shouldn't have to introduce time into this sport. People should just play at a decent pace.
Well, what I think.
And then, the second problem is then. You're adding a rule when nobody's enforcing time. So now it's like the only way this is going to ever matter is if a player gets put on the clock, like they mentioned in like the other rule thing. Then you might have a player be like, I'm on the clock, I'm going to use my timeout to make sure I don't get. But like, it's so like, you can't add another element of time that also isn't.
I'm
going
just
to
excited
get,
for like
so dumb.
Nico or Gannon, like, standing over a putt.
Dude.
Like, can't pull the trigger. And there's
call
like,
a timeout, bro.
Ah, for a timeout.
Like, looking at the body, like, timeout, like, trying to,
and
like,
it's
they
like
just
stepping away, like, shaking off. Like,
it's like you just dove on a loose ball in basketball.
Yeah.
You know, and the best part is, right at the bottom, it says bathroom breaks don't count as timeouts, and it throws, they're just considered a reasonable amount of time. So, right in this specific to the second mention of a new time rule, they also write in a clause that says a bathroom break just implies a reasonable amount of time. So once again, we go right back to ambiguous time, because I could say, well, I have IBS.
Yeah.
A reasonable amount of time for me is 25 minutes in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So like, it's just, you can't, this is the dumbest thing. It's almost as dumb as being able to make putts through the cage. Not quite that dumb, but it's up there.
My situation.
Has that video come out yet?
No.
There's a situation in a video that comes out. It's very funny. What's
my situation that I'd use this in is, okay, we're me and Trevor playing a tournament together, okay? But he's beating me. I'm in second place right now. He's in first place beating me by 5 strokes. We're on a hole 18. We're going to our putts. So he's won the tournament, okay? he gets bit by a cotton mouth. Okay? So he's just got to tap out his putt to win and then go to the hospital. No, dog. I'm calling my timeout, and I'm letting that venom sink in. Yeah. And then he'll die by the time it's time for him to putt. I win.
There you go.
$13,000 in my hand.
Post-mortem.
But how I think they should address the time instead is throw the 30-second whatever out the window. Okay? Or maybe if you want to keep the 30-second, whatever. It should just be, are you keeping pace with the group in front of you or, like, the tournament pace in general? Right? Like, if you, we've all been, and this is what they kind of did with the on the clock is what they attempted there, but like it should be the whole card is responsible for keeping pace with the card in front of them. Because then if I have a shot in the middle of the fairway or I have a wide open 20 foot putt, that should never take me more than 10-15 seconds. Because like disc golf is a pretty simple sport. If I have a 300 foot shot wide open, no wind, I know what I'm throwing well before I step up to it every time. If I have a 25 foot putt, even if there is wind, I don't have to think that much about it. I'm throwing the putt. But then you get off the into the woods, right? And you have a very tight window. You have to decide. You might need more than 30 seconds over there. That should be okay, which is kind of what they're trying to address here. But if they instead made it as like a whole, like make sure your group is playing up to pace.
Yeah, you should play quick
because
enough.
What should happen is I should be able to take 45 seconds to line up that shot if I'm taking 10 seconds on every other throw.
Right.
That should be fine because it all balances out, right? Like if I'm playing, I don't... Tee shots, you play so many practice rounds, like you don't need to take a bunch of time on the tee.
Timeouts are crazy.
You know what you're doing.
The first time I see a timeout called on the Pro Tour, I'm probably gonna laugh.
Well, what are they gonna do on coverage?
That's what I'm saying. Like just watching somebody like literally turn to their card mate and get a timeout is gonna be the
funniest
thing.
I can't wait for like
ever.
Just seeing the signal.
What do you
like,
get?
No, you didn't call it. You didn't throw the signal.
I think you
up
should get a penalty if you call a timeout when you're already out, like in other sports. Like it should be like a technical foul.
Yeah, instant two-stroke penalty.
Instant two-stroke penalty. Like, oh, sorry. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Like, I wasn't doing the timeouts.
Paul just called a timeout on the 18th of European Open, but he already called his two timeouts this round.
He loses.
He's now down one with one to play. Like, I mean, what are we doing?
Oh, man.
Sometimes I think
so
the PDGA
funny.
Just wants to, like, make sure their membership base is still active. And yeah. So they're like, can we sneak one by?
No, this
here?
Is going to get approved 100%.
What's allowed inside of the timeouts?
Anything. Hacky sack.
Hacky sack. I think we throw...
I'm going to get on timeout and start playing Fruit Ninja.
I think a call timeout just to extend our hacky sack game on the tee.
That's a great idea.
Like a little backup hacky sack.
Imagine.
Oh, we need one more. I'll burn my timeout here. I'll burn my timeout so we can finish our game in Texas.
Imagine the three of us, we're sitting in like a 40-minute backup, and it finally gets to our turn. Like, we're all going to use our timeouts just to make you guys wait even longer.
I want to let the card in front of us clear. We're on hole 12 at Northwood Black. I'm going to let the card in front of us clear a little more. Timeout.
I can't wait to call a timeout.
Back-to-back
wait.
So the longest delay, this is what they should do.
Every person called
everybody
a timeout,
uses all their timeouts.
That's 4 minutes a person.
So you got 16 minutes.
Yeah. I'm going to use them on a whole one.
That's hilarious.
If I was
in
a
protest,
player,
if you're a player
in protest, take 4 minutes on the first tee.
Yeah,
throw the whole
tee
sheet off.
They announce your name now, taking the tee, Gannon Burr, and he's like, timeout.
Oh, that's funny.
No, he's got to wait 30 seconds.
Yeah, 30 seconds,
29 seconds, timeout.
That's hilarious.
And just throws the rest of the tee sheet off. Now we're on a 10-minute delay because this card just took 16 minutes worth of timeouts on the first
tee. When are you allowed to call timeouts? Only whenever you've
addressed
your
lie? When it's your turn to throw.
When it's your turn to throw, okay.
Yeah, so a player may elect to take a 60-second timeout up to two times per round. That's just hysterical.
And you got to note it on the scorecard. So are they going to add it to the
digital probably
add it to
the live app,
card.
Yeah.
Add a timeout.
That's actually how you call it, is you just push timeout. It's glitching. I'm calling timeout, guys. Gosh. I mean, what are we doing? That's just ludicrous. We need to make sure that doesn't go through, and we need to reverse whatever they did with the disc catching thing.
Yeah.
Where it can just be like hanging onto the side of the basket, and it's good. It's supported by the basket,
below the band.
The other one I thought was crazy out of this, a lot of them were just like they're clarifying stuff, practice rounds beginning late, flex start stuff, whatever. This one is kind of funny. They actually are expanding the use of video evidence to course markings, probably a good change. This one I thought was funny. They now allow tournament directors to determine appropriate divisions for players without PDGA numbers. So tournament directors may determine where players without a PDGA number are eligible to play based on knowledge of their demonstrated skill and ability. So Connor comes to play, no PDGA number. He shows up to play the Commonwealth Games.
Throw a shot real quick. Let me see you hit a putt.
No, like I know Connor, right? Mm-hmm. So he shows up to play the Virginia Commonwealth Games. I'm like, and he signed up for MA3.
Yeah.
I'm like, Connor, dude, you're an MPO guy. I'm an MA3.
I love
Come
the
on,
idea.
Connor. I've seen it. You're an MPO guy. I have the right to call. You don't have a PDGA number, I'm putting you in MPO.
I just love the idea of a MA3 level player showing up without a PDGA number, but they're decked out in gear and they're just a really good putter. So they're just tearing it up in the putting greens. You're the TD. You're looking over at him. Like, you're like, dude, this guy. And he's like, he's also cocky. So like, you're like, this guy's good. And you're like, dude, you're pretty good. And like, oh, I'm really good. And then you throw him in MPO or something like
that.
Or
NA1.
And they just can't throw.
Yeah.
Like, it's really funny. Like, are you going to have to start having tryout days before tournaments? Like, if you don't have PDG number, come out to tryout days so we can assess your division. The sandbaggers rejoicing right now. Because now the TDs, if they're in league with the sandbaggers, can just be like, well, yeah, I'm allowed to determine their division. That's what I determined.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, I just thought they were MA4 level.
I was going to say, the TD, if you're buddies with a TD, then, like, I can be a TD and, like, you know, I have two guys that are, like, neck and neck, but I don't like one, I like the other, and they're both trying to play MA3, and I'm like, oh, no, this guy's got to go to MA1. You can play MA3.
Send him to the front lines.
He's got to go to MA1. He's like, I played MA3 last year and lost by 12. It doesn't matter. You've improved a lot.
You're going to lose by 30 today.
Yeah.
That's
get out
so
of there.
Funny.
This is their attempt, I think, at solving sandbagging.
But I feel like it could hurt it just as much.
Yeah, it easily could. Because now you're just going to have local guys who are buddies with the TD. They're like, come on, let me in MA3, yeah, dude. Man, I want to get another win. I want to get another win. Like,
say that you deemed it the best division. Say that.
Yeah. You talk dirty to me. Yeah.
Whisper it in my ear. You're going to MA4, buddy. See you on the podium.
The rest of them, I think, are pretty, like, require restrooms and C-tier.
You're going to win that Zuka cart, and then you're going to give it to me.
Yeah, say, hey, I'll put you in MA3 if you split the payout with me.
Love it.
It's just something, man. There's always something. But, all right, let's just jump into the Silas Selects. We'll do the top 10 next week.
All right, let me get in.
But again, don't forget to submit your feedback to the PDGA if you think timeouts are stupid, or don't if you want to see it, which I'm kind of 50-50, because part of me wants to see Gannon Burr just freaking out and be like, timeout, I got it off in time. Well, you can't say I didn't get it off in time. What are you, the time police?
I am the time police.
That's funny. I also love that the other players are required to, like, tell them when 60 seconds has been up. Like, I call timeout and Connor's now.
They should have full timeouts and half timeouts.
Yeah.
I want 30 seconds and full minutes.
30.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like 30. Okay, extend it to a full media timeout. You have Brian Earhart out there that, like, pops up.
30-second timeout called, extended to a full media timeout.
Like, football with, like, the clock that starts ticking down. That's what we need. Like,
clock shirt.
Gannon Burr. Yeah, clock shirt.
New use for the clock shirt.
New use for the clock shirt.
Yeah, you're gonna want to buy in clock shirt right now because
stock shirt went up.
It would be fun if we can get our hands on the thing from Liberty that, like, counts down. That'd be a very funny reel.
It would be.
It's really like funny. I'm like lining up a problem, like, timeout, and then, like, Connor walks out in a referee shirt with the countdown going.
That's funny.
All right, heck, Silas selects. What
it's
disc
a
we got?
Discraft buzz.
Buzz.
I know it.
What?
I know it.
No, you say yours first.
Shark 3. Don't even know we have
it's
them.
A Shark 3?
Yeah.
Daggum.
Detour.
Detour, Trev. Come on. You really think it's a detour?
Could be.
It's a buzz, guys.
General.
Oh, see, I was on the right track. General. It was a new disc.
Silas went very contextual here. Ricky just won.
Oh,
that should have been fresh on our mind.
It was subliminal. You got
How much did that disc cost, Hunter?
$32.99.
It's not
MSRP.
It's not our fault.
Don't ask what it cost us. That might also make you throw up.
Because
feels great,
also
though.
A lot.
Feels great, though.
Does feel great.
Yeah, feels great. But it flies like no
I haven't
disc.
Thrown it. Well, I've been kind of scared to throw it. I can go throw a bunch of discs.
Basically just gold.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I love their Supreme plastic.
It's a flex, though. I feel like it could be, like, I will say this about the price tag.
There's probably a lot of MA3 players within their bag.
It tempts me to have, like, three generals all in different
stages. Yeah, I cycle generals. Yeah. You cycle generals. And you have an Octothorpe? That's $700 right there.
You got a Cloudbreaker 2?
Yeah, and whenever I'm not throwing the general, this one doesn't flip up enough. This is actually straight from Eagle's bag.
Be careful with that.
Yeah, it's true. Why'd I throw it like that? Dang.
That thing's flippy now.
All right, well, that wraps up the show. No preview show this week, so we'll be back next week to tell you about the Swedish Open and update the top 10.
Let's go, Sweden.
I think Edwin Statt also suggested we might do this next week, a little mid-season grippy update where he'll get us some statistics of, like, who's leading player of the year race.
Ooh,
right now.
That's fun.
It'll be a little fun mid-season grippies. So stay tuned. We'll talk to you next week.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Vacation starts with VA. Whether you're feeling beachy, mountainy, or every-y in between, you'll find all that you love all in one trip to Virginia. Start yours at virginia.org.